Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
Blink. Sir Grace the Fresh Adventurer. Destroying bandit camps in the Ironwood Forest surrounding Fairburn Point.
Blink.
Sir Grace the Hangman.
Doling out punishment appropriate.
Pulling the lever.
Watching the drop.
Blink.
Sir Grace the Fighter.
King of the Pit.
Building strength.
Vanquishing foes.
Preparing.
Blink. 2,000 eyes, 1,000 plans, and all requiring a personal touch.
This is the State of Grace.
The Stormcaller and the Gallant Rider both start firing on the fishing trawler. Mm-hmm. They hit the boat.
Oh, no.
They tear a hole in the boat. No, this is kind of good.
Oh, I guess it slows us down.
Yeah. You begin slowing down even further as well.
Mm-hmm.
The boat is destroyed. Now it's going to sink. But before it sinks, you might actually end up making them hit you.
That's great. Fantastic.
What would you like to do navigation-wise?
Could I try and preempt, because they, I assume, are going to imagine that we will keep slowing down. So maybe they will try and, because currently every time they've moved, they've been trying to move out of the way of us.
Yeah.
Do I think that I could try to intercept them by preempting where they're going to move to avoid where they think we'll be, if you know what I mean?
You can try that, but your options are keep slowing down or reverse. Speed up.
Mm-hmm.
Turn left. Turn right.
Yeah, yeah.
What
way have they been turning to avoid us?
They've been turning towards the north. So you're sailing north to south.
Mm-hmm.
You're sailing north to south. They're sailing west to east.
Yeah, yeah. And they've been trying.
They've been turning further northward as you've been kind of slowing down a bit.
Yes, okay. I guess really the best option is just to keep slowing down, to be honest. Because we're not going to outrun them. We're not quick enough. Yeah.
I've got good news and I've got bad news.
Hit me with them both at once. No, I'll take the good news.
So having seen that they hit you with the ballista bolt, they knew that you were going to be slowing down.
Yeah.
And so they started turning back southwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now planning on overshooting you.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of beefed slowing down.
Yeah, yeah.
So it hasn't, it's not, you still got a little bit of work to do and you've got one round left before a collision occurs.
Okay.
And it's their turn to attack. They fire a ballista bolt. Highs or lows?
Highs.
They take out another guy.
That's fine.
You're down to, what is that? Down to
three?
Three, yeah.
Yeah.
So what would you like to do navigation-wise?
Well, now, because I beefed it, and their turn has actually brought them more in the direction of, like, they're more likely to hit us now, yeah?
Yeah.
Because of their correction. I assume that they're going to try and correct back in the other direction to try and
turn back north.
Turn back north. So I suppose it's still slowing down. I suppose there's kind of nothing else that we can do, really, in this situation. I just don't think we're fast enough that if I'm, like, turn left, it's going to take us, like, probably several turns to actually, you know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
But if
we
could just slow down on the spot, that's probably the easiest move.
Okay. So, at the last possible moment, the wind dies down, meaning that both of your sails give out.
Yeah.
And you lose a lot of control. Without any forwards propulsion, you have very little actual steering power. The two are inextricably tied together.
Yeah,
if you're not moving in a boat, you can't turn in a boat.
Yes, for sure.
Now, when the wind dies down, that gives you a pretty actually significant advantage because you have oars and you begin continuing to row. And so you are able to, it doesn't even matter what they, you don't even see what their last movement was
because
they lose so much steering, they aren't able to change direction or do anything. Your boat slams into their boat, destroying your fishing trawler.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see if you cause significant damage to the Gallant Rider.
Hell yeah.
The Gallant Rider takes some damage, but from your distance on the Constant Craving, you can't tell how bad it is.
Does it seem like it's slowed them down? I don't need them to be
you
damaged.
You can't tell how bad it is.
Okay, yeah, no worries. Well, I'll keep trailing after them on the Constant Craving, I suppose.
Right. The Constant Craving, a little bit later, looks like it's going to intercept as well.
Yep.
With the constant craving, there's no warning shots this time. They know exactly what's happening. And so both ships begin firing at the constant craving. What would you do? Lieutenant Davoli is in charge of the situation now.
I think we need to send an envoy of people onto the ship to try and collect whatever Punchinello got trapped in.
Okay.
Like, I would like to get close enough to board.
All right. It doesn't look like that's happening. The Blue Beach ship, the Constant Craving, is now, you're exchanging shots. You're firing ballista at each other.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like Lieutenant Davoli intends on closing the distance.
Okay. Well, that's extremely annoying because that's what we needed him to do. Well, that's okay. If we destroy the Gallant Rider as well, that's something, like, that still achieves the same goal. So I'm very happy for them to volley shots. Like a rowboat, to send a rowboat across would be very difficult, right? I'm assuming, amidst this gunfire.
Yeah.
And maybe what we'll do is we'll fire on the Gallant Rider and the Stormcaller while at the same time trying to close the distance, at least as Ogden Tyne, I'll ask the captain of the Constant Craving to do so. You know, on Sir Grace's orders, in the hopes of making them basically stopping them from outrunning us and trying to turn them back, if you know what I mean.
No, sorry, can you repeat?
So to try and close the distance and gain some to get ahead of them somewhat so that we can start trying to corral them and kind of herd them back toward Fairburn Point while at the same time exchanging fire.
In the middle of this battle, Lieutenant Davoli, who's probably standing, he's not actually in charge of the ship. He's not turning the wheel or anything like that, but he's near there. He's got the eyepiece out and he's scanning the battle. He's, you know, directing soldiers, giving orders. As you move over and tell him that, you don't even get half of it out. He turns around to you, wheels around on you, red in the face. Do not presume to tell me how to fight this battle.
Oh my God, dude. Oh my God.
You can wait downstairs for all I care.
Who do you think you're having this fight for? Who do you think you're working for right now? What do you think you're doing?
Right now, I think we are betraying what we believe in. Now you can wait downstairs.
So he seems like he's like a Blue Beach loyalist, basically.
Yeah, he does not seem to be terribly interested in this fight. Okay. And you can see he's very annoyed. He was told they were fighting one ship, and now you're fighting two.
Okay.
So, Grace, you feel a tingling from the Mirrorverse. Mm-hmm. Something's happening.
Okay, I'll head there.
Withdraw from...
Yeah, whatever. This ship is a lost cause, and I'm pissed at John Cotter. And I will move from it. I'll leave Ogden Tyne to whatever, and then I'll head into the Mirrorverse.
All right. You jump into the Mirrorverse.
Mm-hmm.
Are on your way to the Mirrorverse version of you.
Mm-hmm.
So your consciousness is kind of moving, using the Yankee Black, almost like a freeway, going from one place to another place.
Yeah.
Your consciousness is driving down the freeway that leads to Mirrorverse, but on the off ramp that heads towards taking the Lonely Tower, you can see another tingle goes on there. Mm-hmm. Two important things are happening at the same time.
I can't split myself across them.
You can if you want.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll try and have it all.
All right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
As the tendril that is trying to take the Lonely Tower, you, Jindabyne the Howling Mad, and your little cadre of 14 fighters, you are, the plan was...
We're going to punch a hole from the exponential Sir Grace fight into the Mirror Fortress, and then with the intent of, while we're in the Mirror Fortress, using one of those mirrors to get higher up in the tower.
Yeah.
Preferably to the top.
So... Jindabyne, with your assistance, very few of the other alternate version Graces are helping their Jindabyne.
Yeah, yeah.
But you, you are. Mm-hmm. So your Jindabyne is creating a portal as six other Jindabynes are trying to create portals. You, Sir Grace, are able to, not without some difficulty, but you're able to dance a bunch of them back and away from the fight so that your Jindabyne can create a portal here, which then you will need to leave some fighters to keep it protected.
Yeah.
You have 14. Every fighter you leave here is one you're not getting back, probably.
That's okay. I think, honestly, to be able to get to the top of the tower, which is really the aim here, I'll leave behind five. My hope is that the Sir Graces will be so interested in killing each other that they will be kind of largely ignoring my portal to the to the Mirror Fortress.
With the remaining nine and mm-hmm. Jindabyne, you make your way back into that grassy field, mm-hmm. beautiful grassy field, which, as I remind you, is actually a corridor.
Yes, yeah, yeah. With but many it's also actually out. A grassy yes, field. Yes, yes, yeah. yes.
And from there, you it's now that the doors are all closed, it's really hard to, when it's a field, it's really hard to see them.
Mm.
But you reach out and using, as best you can, using muscle memory
yeah.
from the inky entity that came through that door, you find, kind of, you got to do a little yeah. bit of like a, where the
find
fuck is
it? Find the worm through the firmament till I can yeah. find it, yeah.
You grab the handle of the doorknob, you're in the corridor as you turn open the door, and then you step from the field into the mirror. You step into the mirrorverse again. Mm-hmm. While you're in the mirrorverse twice,
yeah.
you see yourself in that fortress where there are mirror entities running about. And as soon as you open the door, it's like you've kicked the hornet's nest.
Yeah.
You here and the other version of you, suddenly there is a heavy increase in activity.
Yeah.
As the mirror entity now seen, you've been knocked up from a stage 2 threat
yeah, yeah.
to a stage 5 threat.
Yep.
It's yeah, it becomes a bit more intense.
That's okay.
So, yeah. we're going to go to initiative.
Have the other Sir Graces come through?
Not yet. You haven't opened the other portal
okay,
yet.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Just stepped in.
Yep, sure.
You see, you are watching, you are observing two mm-hmm. things at once. You are observing that mirror fortress, which becomes a hive of activity mm-hmm. as when you open the door, the mirrors attack. You yeah. are in a courtyard of sorts. You can see that there is one large structure, a castle made mm-hmm. out of mirrors,
mm-hmm.
surrounded by a wall, also made out of mirrors. In that wall made out of mirrors, it's not a traditional wall that would protect a castle. It looks like yeah. just a, it's one solid but thin wall that stretches all the way around, and you can see there are many door-ish shaped mirrors okay. in it,
yeah, yeah.
through which you can see many different places, times, and maybe copies, versions of yourself,
yeah, sure.
entities, a million different things. As your mind kind of wavers, it looks like the visage on the other side changes,
mm-hmm.
reflecting something within you, though you're not sure what.
Okay.
The castle, from the castle, an endless stream of mirror entities continue to make their way out. These mirror entities, as they change shape and form, as they're reflected and as things gaze upon them,
mm-hmm.
it looks like they mirror and change themselves to match other things there.
Mm-hmm.
As you cast your gaze upon them, whatever entity you're directly looking at, looks like it kind of transforms a little bit to mirror
more
you.
More resemble me, okay.
But then as in your peripheral, as you are looking away from them, they become more amorphous, hard okay. to detect.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Punchinello Grace
yeah.
sees Punchinello.
Okay.
There is a crystalline, made out of glass, crystalline shape in this endless landscape.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a large gem, and in its center is Punchinello, suspended in time and place.
Okay, cool.
As you approach, though, mm-hmm. that is about when the door opened for Tower Grace.
Yeah, okay.
And when the door opened for Tower Grace, like I said, things got a lot more hectic.
Yeah.
And now these mirror entities, they're not actually really trying to guard Punchinello. They're just trying to
yeah,
stop
for sure.
You.
Well, I presume from their perspective, it's the same entity attacking from multiple fronts. So yeah. it's, yeah, no worries.
The mirror entities for Punchinello, for Punchinello Grace, they're mm-hmm. coming in all directions.
Yeah.
For Tower Grace, they're only coming from the front.
Okay.
Tower Grace currently has nine entities at his side,
yep.
and he has just lost one defending the gate.
Cool. No worries.
So you have four more. The gate there has four more, shall we say, hit points.
Yeah, yep.
And if all of those guards are killed,
yeah.
then that Tower Grace's plan fails before it even really yep. starts.
Cool.
The Punchinello Grace has 10. Mm-hmm. entities to defend himself. Now, it's the mirror's entities' turn first.
Yep.
They're not able to, for Punchinello, Grace,
yeah.
as they close in from all sides, you've given yourself a diamond formation mm-hmm. with you in the center and all around you. They are keeping you safe
mm-hmm.
and they have yet to falter.
That's great.
Tower Grace is less lucky.
Mm.
So only being able to defend an attack from one side, it would have given you, it could have given you a kind of a defensive, a direction that you just don't need to worry about.
Yeah.
You can back up against the wall and be like, oh, well, I don't need to protect myself from this direction. You were very wrong.
Okay. Is it because it's made of mirrors?
Because it's made of mirrors, you erroneously place your back against it and you are attacked from behind. You lose 3 of your 9. Mm.
It's no good.
You're down to 6. You feel a mirror spear skewer you from behind, Sir Grace. You take 8 points of damage.
Okay.
Then it is Tower Grace's turn.
What does Jindabyne need?
Time. Just give me some time. I must get closer. Or put me wherever. Is here okay?
Wherever you need to be to open the portal, Jindabyne.
Maximum damage would be next to the castle, I suppose.
Okay, then we'll start making a push toward the castle.
You begin making a push towards the castle. You out in front, I guess?
Yeah, I suppose.
There's no one immediately in front of you.
Yeah.
So you can attack entities ahead of you to try and thin out their number, or you can just try to cross as much distance as you can.
Do I think if I tried to cross like quite a bit of distance, I would take an attack of op?
No.
Okay, well then, yeah, let's just cross as much distance as we can. I'm not here to fight these mirror entities.
Okay.
I'm here to survive until the other Sir Graces get here, and then I'm out. So I'm not interested in fighting if I don't have to.
You sprint across the space as fast as you can. You reach the other side. More or less.
Yeah.
You're not actually touching the castle
yet. But I'm
yet,
like close enough.
But you're several strides away from touching the castle. So that happens as Tower Grace and your inky creatures chase after you, obviously.
Great. Fantastic.
The ones for Punchinello Grace holding that diamond formation try to fend off the mirror entities.
Mm-hmm.
Good news, bad news. They don't really push them away, which means you actually halt. You aren't moving towards Punchinello now, but it means that you don't lose any of the
Yeah. Hey, well, I'll take it.
Then it is Punchinello Grace's turn.
Okay.
Speaking of.
Do I think that to free Punchinello, like, he's in that crystal. Would damaging the crystal free him? I guess we need to get closer. I'll make a push. Like, 2 pushes, one toward the castle and one toward Punchinello Grace. I'll just forge ahead.
Your ink entities get another turn pushing forwards, and this time they're significantly more successful.
Hell yeah.
I'd say successful enough that because your intention isn't really to fight this mirror creature, you're not actually destroying them because that would lose you guys.
Yes,
You're instead, they're just hip and shouldering. They're shepherding their way forwards.
Absolutely.
Your ink entities make it with you to the other side of that space where the castle is.
Yep.
For Tower Grace, and then for Punchinello Grace, your diamond formation begins to make its way further along. It's the mirror entity's turn.
Mm.
Something strange happens.
Okay.
There's no longer a mindless nature to this imitation.
Mm.
Now it looks like the mirror entity, the mirror equivalent of Sir Grace, whatever's controlling them in the same way that you control the Inky Black, starts taking a more direct control.
Okay.
And before, they would kind of copy randomly. Mm-hmm. Now they're copying with purpose. At one point, you are Captain Morlock Brush, and you are before the dragons killing yourself, essentially.
Yeah.
When that happens, a bunch of the mirror creatures all tumble together and form a mirror dragon.
Oh, okay. Cool.
That mirror dragon then breathes mirror fire.
That's sick.
Onto your formation.
Okay.
You fail the dexterity saving throw. This is going to
you're picking up
hurt.
A lot of dice. Goddamn.
24 points of damage. Mm-hmm. 24 points of mirror fire damage. Both Sir Graces recoil in pain as the mirror flames burn at them.
Yeah. I that imagine you get full of little slivers of glass. Oh, my God.
That mirror dragon curls itself around the castle and is taking a very defensive stance. Anytime one of your entities gets close, the mirror swipes down at them. Meanwhile, the mirrors fighting Punchinello Grace form many tiny little dragons.
Okay.
And each of those tiny little dragons begins swooping down on you. There are still normal bipedal forms that are trying to hamper your process.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, as they putting out their arms form into huge tower shields.
That's cool.
Which they looks like they're trying to make a wall. You see, they're trying to make a wall all around you. The shields, when they touch together, they begin seamlessly becoming one.
Cool.
It looks like you're about to be sealed in. While those dragons, those little dragons, swoop down from above. You lose two... Punchinello Grace loses two entities out of the ten
that's
that it has.
That's the first loss we've had. That's fine.
Then it is Tower Grace's turn.
I turn to Jindabyne. How close does Jindabyne seem to be to activating the portal?
Jindabyne hasn't even started casting the spell yet. He's not in position.
Well, we need to get in position, so we're going to move forward again to try and get to the right place so that he can do it.
You lose another guardian of the other end of the gate. You're down to three.
That's fine. So we'll make another push. Does he need to get closer to the castle?
He doesn't need to be anywhere specifically. You're just going to maximize damage at the castle.
Okay.
You can tell him to start casting now.
Oh, yeah, then honestly, I think where we are now, I tell him to start.
All right.
Open the portal, Jindabyne, I say. Quickly.
Okie dokie. He begins casting the spell.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a little while for the spell to be cast.
And then I suppose with my actual turn, I will just like do my best to keep the mirror entities away from Jindabyne.
He needs to get two successful Arcana checks in a row.
Okay.
The first Arcana check is a success.
Nice.
So next turn when he does the second one,
if he nails it, we're good.
Yeah.
All right, sweet.
Then it is, that was Tower Grace's turn. It is your allies' turn. The cadre that Tower Grace has.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
They neither take losses nor deal damage, which with a giant mirror dragon is maybe
that's impressive. That's fine. That's fine.
Then Punchinello Grace. Punchinello Grace loses some guys. You push too hard and too quickly. A bunch of ink entities are picked up by mirror dragons, lifted up into the air, and then just drops.
That's a shame.
You lose. Oh, no. That was a costly mistake. You lose five.
Ooh, that's grim. That's a real shame.
You're down to three, which means that you're actually now going to start taking attacks as both Graces.
Yep.
That was your ally. That was your ink entity's turn. It is Punchinello Grace's turn.
How close am I to Punchinello?
If you were willing to take six attacks of op, you could get him now.
Okay. Yeah.
I will allow you to sacrifice three of your ink entities, the three that you have left. To basically, they will absorb those three attacks. So here's the trade-off.
Yeah.
Now, every one that you pick to absorb an attack, I'm not actually going to roll that attack.
Mm-hmm.
The ink entity, it doesn't matter if they would have hit or miss.
Yeah, they'll suffer the damage.
Yeah,
yep.
the ink, you've lost an ink entity.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one potential hit that you will not suffer.
Okay. But then once, I mean, I really, yeah, you know what? It's worth it. I think I'll do that.
All three or yeah, a
all
number?
Three.
All three?
Okay. I will, putting the ink entities in front of myself to defend myself when the mirror attacks come, I will make the rush for Punchinello to free him.
Only one hit.
Oh, fuck yes. Great news.
As you try to dart in between there's a few gaps left in those mirror shields as they have not yet properly sealed in. You
thank God.
Send ink entities through first and they are cut to ribbons.
That's fine. They're not really people, so it's okay.
But while they are being cut to ribbons, you would, if they were a real person, you would have cared.
Yeah.
As they are being cut to ribbons, Sir Grace, you, as Punchinello Grace, slip through and only one mirror entity slashes at you, dealing 6 points of damage.
Oh, that's fine.
Then you are at Punchinello and you still have an action.
Can I, what I'm seeing is like a big crystal inside which is Punchinello.
Yes.
Do I get the impression that I'm basically seeing the inside of the prison, really?
It feels like it could be, yeah.
Okay. Now, do I think shattering it, can I make an Arcana check as to what I would be required to do to free Punchinello?
A shatter spell would be real handy right about now.
Okay. Okay, I don't have a shatter spell, but can I just kick Punchinello, kick the crystal?
Critical hit.
Fuck yes. Fuck yes.
You kick Punchinello, that crystal which had been, it was like it was stuck into the ground.
Yeah.
The crystal teeters over backwards and then slams into the ground.
Hell yeah.
As it shatters, I believe you were in Punchinello when he saw this.
Yeah.
You see, it looks like the other side of that mirrored plate.
Hell yes.
You can see that Punchinello falls through it as if it were a, well, not as if, it is a portal, and Punchinello falls back through it. As Punchinello,
yeah.
You feel yourself hop out of that and onto, into the bowels of the gallant rider. That the magic that holds the portal open remains even after the crystal mm-hmm. is shattered. So Tendril, not Tendril, you're both Tendril.
Yeah.
So
Punchinello Grace.
Punchinello Grace, you can if you want, since there's nothing here to do other than die to the mirror entities.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You leap through and also you are standing next to Punchinello.
I immediately sacrifice myself to Punchinello to give myself more hit points.
As Punchinello?
Yeah, Punchinello is not doing great. So I jump in and sort of like almost grab Punchinello in a bear hug to give Punchinello more hit points.
I don't know how many hit points Tendril Grace has left, yep. but every hit point you lose as Tendril Grace,
yep.
you can give Punchinello.
Hell yeah.
Obviously, if you give him all of your hit points, both Tendril Graces are destroyed.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, no. That's, so we're not doing that.
You might want to leave at least one in Tendril Grace.
Yes, okay. I will give him, I'll give him 20, honestly.
20? All right, that will leave Tendril Grace with 5 hit points.
That's fine. We're close. Okay, what's around me in the bowels of the Gallant Rider?
In the bowels of the Gallant Rider, there's nothing and no one. You're in that room that they were interrogating you in before, but mm-hmm. now you're actually in the room.
Yeah, cool.
The magical suppression field has been turned off. There is one door. You can hear the sounds of combat above you. You know what that combat is.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm going to enter a rage,
mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to open the door and just start flopping my way up onto the deck mm-hmm. with my broken wings, looking for any of the crew of the Gallant Rider.
Well, before you get up onto the deck, mm-hmm. bursting through the door, you tumble into the bowels of the Gallant Rider. There are sailors who are the first people to encounter you.
Yeah.
They seem very surprised, very worried, I would say.
Yeah.
Very worried to see you. One of them, we're going to initiative, mm-hmm. Or we're still in initiative, yeah, I should say. I'm going to say, since Punchinello took all of the hit points,
yep.
Punchinello is now, I'm just going to replace Punchinello Grace with Punchinello.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. Punchinello Grace has become Punchinello, basically. Yeah.
So, there's two sailors mm-hmm. in this corridor. One of them sprints away from you upstairs to alert other people, while mm-hmm. the other sailor charges you with a baton. That sailor swings, and what is Punchinello's AC? That will be a miss.
Nice.
Then the mirror dragon, mm-hmm. with a huge roar, is going to swoop down and claw at your defenders and at you, okay. Sir Grace. Oh, actually, wait. Can it breathe mirror fire again? It breathes mirror fire again. What was I saying?
Oh, no.
Mirror Grace, okay, you pass the saving throw this time, so uh-huh. you'll take half damage. Having 5 hit points, mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll be fine. All right. 10, 20,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
5, 26. You take 13. Tendril Grace, you are destroyed.
Yeah. Okay, no worries.
You are, though, still aware of yep. that combat through, not through Jindabyne the Howling Mad, but through the other ink entities there.
Well, can I jump into one of the other ink entities?
Yes. You are not Tendril Grace, though. You are an ink entity.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I don't have any...
Yeah.
I've got very few powers anymore, but that's okay. It's
you
just
have
about
lost
getting there.
4 of them, so mm-hmm. you're down to the 2 ink entities and Jindabyne, mm-hmm. who will, in a moment, complete their spell, hopefully. Yep. You lose another defender of the other end of the portal as mm-hmm. well, meaning you have two left.
Yep.
So if Jindabyne
whiffs this, then
it's kind of actually done.
Yep, 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 yep.
It is Tower Grace. Tower Grace is dead, mm-hmm. but we'll say
as
an ink entity.
Ink entity.
Yeah.
Okay, well then, as the ink entity, I'll grab Jindabyne by the robes and be like, finish the portal!
Jindabyne, oh, you're very lucky.
Oh,
Jindabyne does not stop laughing as he puts the finishing touches on the portal.
Mm-hmm.
It mirroring two blue portals, mirroring each other. It looks like you're, it doesn't look like a portal. It looks like a tear in reality, space and time. As soon as it opens up, I'm guessing the defenders step through, which just the size of the battle now, it's being pushed in all directions. It's like a balloon slowly expanding. The fight begins tumbling out of the portal and into the mirror fortress. Pandemonium reigns supreme.
Okay, and then on my next turn, as the ink entities that remain in Jindabyne, we're going to just try and find the portal out of here.
Okay.
In the chaos that we leave
behind. Well, it's
behind.
Your allies' turn, so that's
great. That's what they do.
You start searching. And Punchinello, it's your turn. There is a sailor in front of you, and a sailor who hasn't actually escaped yet is trying to alert the crew.
I'm going to use Form of Beast Bite. And with my owl beak, I'm going to just try and bite his head off.
You bite his head off.
Nice.
You actually have enough speed to get to the other one as well, so you could do it.
Do I have two attacks as well?
Yeah, you have two attacks.
Oh, then I'll do that. Punchinello. Critical fail.
Critical fail. I'm sorry.
Punchinello.
I'm sorry, Punchinello.
That's okay.
Hop to it. You cannot walk or run for 1d4 minutes. You can only jump.
That's awesome.
For the next 2 minutes, Punchinello, you can only jump. How does that happen? Oh, as you're as you're sprinting around, Punchinello, you throw all caution to the wind. You are not prepared for when you get close, the sailor whips around with his baton and breaks your fucking leg. You are now hopping on one leg.
I'm dragging myself. I look like a beast, dude.
That was Punchinello's turn. It is your enemy's turn. That sailor, highs or lows?
Highs.
Emboldened by breaking your leg. He's going to try and batter you again, Punchinello. He gets a critical failure. Wow, that's crazy. Breathtaking. Oh, that's so funny. You cannot speak for 1d4 rounds. Maybe the sailor whips around, swings at you. Punchinello, you grab the bat, wrest it from his control. He realizes the mistake he's made, so he's about to turn around. But before he could turn around, with his own baton, you thunk, sock him in the guts.
Hell yeah.
Winding him completely, he turns around and sprints to the upper levels. But getting there, all he can do is wheeze at people.
That's great.
Then it is the mirror entities' turn. Can that dragon breathe fire again? No. The dragon lands near the portal and is trying desperately to stem the tide of grace, but there is no stopping it now. A million different versions of Sir Grace and his allies spill forth. The portal actually starts getting bigger as the sheer force of people up against it begins tearing it apart. The tear in time and space begins getting bigger and worse and more terrible.
Great.
While that is happening, you with Jindabyne are able to search for a way up. Jindabyne gets to one of the mirror doors. He puts a hand on it, closes his eyes for a second, and then on the other side of the mirror, you see it.
Okay.
The wizard.
Huh?
The top of the tower.
Okay, yeah, good.
You can see this creature, this entity. I use the term wizard, but there's no human word that could properly describe the entity that you're seeing. It is so far removed. It maybe once was a person, or it maybe once could have been a person, but it is forgotten that it was a person, and it's forgotten what a person looks like. Okay. So far removed from reality is this creature now. It's hard to even call it a creature. When Jindabyne does that, when you gaze upon this thing, it turns around with its infinite heads or no heads and sees you. Huh. It seems quite shocked to see you.
Okay.
What would you like to do, Sir Grace?
Can we push into wherever the wizard is?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, then we'll do that.
All right.
We'll push open whatever this mirror door is, whatever this portal is, and trying not to let any of the other Graces know where I'm going, I'll head in there with Jindabyne and the rest of the inky black entities that I have under my command.
Jindabyne, there doesn't seem to be much point to it because the mirrored door, it's like glass. You can see through it. But Jindabyne closes it behind you as if that was going to do something. Then it is Punchinello's turn.
Okay. I would like to continue my way up onto the deck.
All right.
Yeah.
You keep moving your way up. You come up behind that sailor who you're at a upper, you're not on top, but you're at an upper level now where a lot of supplies are being passed around for the battle upstairs. There's a bunch of sailors here who seem very surprised to see you. You can fight your way up or you could just run up. They look surprised enough that they might not try and stop you.
I would like to, is it like an action to convert someone quickly?
You can convert multiple people quickly.
Okay, well, I'll do that. I would like to explode up the stairs and then kind of like fall, not on my face, but like kind of tumble into the room. And as I tumble, let out from my body a wave of inky black across all of these sailors, converting them in an instant.
You don't get all of them, but you get most of this deck and you get it quickly enough that if you wanted to spend another turn here, you would have this deck and you would have taken it quietly, essentially.
I will. On my next turn, I'll do the same.
All right. Then that was Punchinello. It is your enemy's turn. So those remaining sailors try fighting back. They do a decent job, but not a decent enough job. Maybe there's a part of Sir Grace, an old part, that, I mean, there's no, I don't know if there's much sympathy left in Sir Grace for another creature.
Yeah.
But certainly there's a part of Sir Grace that feels like he wishes he had known people as brave as this when he was younger.
Yes, for sure.
The sailors put up a valiant last defense.
You have to admire it, you know? You gotta admire it.
The entity at the top of the tower, the lonely entity in the lonely tower, it speaks a million different languages at once. And at first you think it's, maybe you're like, oh, is this a spell? Is this, what is happening? Is this like tongues? Is speaking many different languages? And then finally it settles on a language you understand and you realize it's been saying the same thing over and over again, trying to find a language you understand. Hello, what are you doing here?
We mean to take the Lonely Tower, I say.
Oh, something awful's happened. The entity kills you.
As unexpected.
You die. Tendril Grace.
Okay.
Then the entity, Jindabyne, steps aside. The entity moves past Jindabyne, looks at him briefly, and then there is not enough inky black in Jindabyne that this entity thinks there's a problem here.
Okay.
It doesn't recognize any far realms about Jindabyne that wouldn't be normal for a wizard.
Sure.
So it keeps going. It opens the door. And through Jindabyne's eyes, you watch, it steps out into the mirror castle. Everything stops for a brief, there's a pause as everything turns to look. The entity, looking at the many graces, says, oh, something very terrible has happened. And then it starts killing graces faster than graces can appear.
Okay.
In the space of a minute, the battle is over. The entity makes its way back down through the tower. There's, you resist, but it doesn't work. From top to bottom, the tower is cleansed of every instance of Sir Grace.
Okay.
Sir Grace, you snap back into a tendril entity in the flotilla around the Lonely Tower, standing next to Sir Lyca Silvery Moon. You can see as what people you sent in the tower who have sentience are desperately escaping.
Mm.
You have lost. The tower is no longer yours in any way.
We got close, I say to Lyca Silvery Moon.
He nods.
Rally up, and we'll try again.
Meanwhile, Punchinello, it's your turn.
Okay,
You finish turning everyone on this deck.
Yeah. I imagine that the people turned to the people not turned and kind of take them over. All right, then as a single force, we'll go up to the next level of the ship.
All right, you, highs or lows, you start making your way up.
Lows.
The next level of the ship, incidentally, is the deck where the fight is happening.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, we'll spill out onto the deck.
You spill out onto the deck, highs or lows?
Highs.
You will not be immediately noticed. Mm-hmm. The people who could be noticing you are currently distracted with, speaking of, mm-hmm. Ogden Tyne.
Yes.
You see, the having to deal with two ships has pretty drastically kind of hampered Lieutenant Davoli and his people's ability to fight back.
Okay.
This ship is fast enough to catch either one of these ships, but it is not manpowered, or it doesn't have enough manpower to really take these ships. You can see Lieutenant Davoli is beginning to give the order to withdraw, to disengage from the fight. What do you do?
So Grace in the throne room quickly calculates how, what is, and this is something that he probably should have been doing the entire time. What is his priority? Is his priority in this instance stopping the gallant rider from escaping, or is his priority keeping his relationship with John Cotter?
Your thoughts are interrupted. There's a knock at the door.
Come in.
Patrician Valen Otfoss steps in. My liege, I have dire news.
Of course. What is it, Otfoss?
I apologize for interrupting you. Yeah. Valen Otfoss can see that he's catching you at a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
He gestures, and a guard steps in with a small, I was about to say milk crate. It's milk crate sized, but it's not a milk crate. It's a crate.
Yeah, sure, sure.
He takes the crate off the guard, gestures, and the guard leaves, and then he slowly approaches you with the crate.
Mm-hmm.
You hear something is oozing out of the bottom of the crate. He sets it down on the table there.
Mm-hmm.
Message from Ada.
A gesture for him to open the crate.
He opens it. Inside, you see John Cutter's head.
I immediately jump to Ogden Tyne, and I take over everybody on that ship. The constant craving is mine. Fuck it.
Okay. You.
Fuck it, dude. Ogden Tyne goes from standing inert on the deck, probably like a bomb, explodes into inky black goo,
yeah,
which trickles down the faces of everybody in the ship, and then they stop retreating. And then back in the throne room, I'll close the crate. Fine. Has John Cutter's ship left
our dock? It has already left port, my liege. The other ship, I believe the officers... I attempted to dissuade them, but a message was passed before I was able to stop it.
Well, once we...
Both ships are aware of Cutter's death, I believe.
Okay.
Both ships are leaving. They are taking the money and going.
Once we've dealt with this carcerary business, we'll use the Gallant Rider if it's still afloat and the constant craving to track it down and get our 5 million gold back.
Patrician Valen Otfoss nods. He seems dubious of your plan, but he says nothing. It will be done. He turns and leaves.
Okay. I'll focus in and I'll return to the ship-to-ship battle taking place at the outskirts of my territory.
Crash!
Okay.
The constant craving was not being controlled by anyone.
Good stuff.
It has full-on collided with, not with the Gallant Rider, but with the Stormcaller.
Uh-huh.
Both ships slam mightily into each other. The Stormcaller, being the bigger ship, is going to survive this tussle.
Mm-hmm.
The Constant Craving is going to sink, but you have, both ships are now pretty badly damaged.
Yeah.
The Stormcaller is, however, pretty, it did ram through that fishing trawler.
Yeah.
But you now see.
It's still pretty. Yeah. Like, it didn't take much damage.
Some damage has occurred, but not enough to stop or slow it much.
Can I, like rats fleeing a sinking ship, have those inked that I've inked on both ships or on my ship? And now I assume as we collide, basically the people under my influence will start to influence the crew of the Stormcaller as well, what remains of it. And then can we, like rats from a sinking ship, try and send everybody, I'm going to try and send everybody to the Gallant Rider.
All right.
Even if they're just going to fall into the ocean to get over there, I want to just sheer numbers, like the zombies in fucking World War Z, just send them over there.
That you can do. Mm-hmm. So here's the trick.
Yeah.
Now, you can, if you want, you have, from the Constant Craving, you have maybe 12 fighters.
Okay.
If those people then jump onto the deck of the Stormcaller and start turning them and then jump to the Gallant Rider,
out of time, basically.
You'll get more fighters.
Yeah.
But they will slowly be trickling in.
Mm.
If you jump, then jump immediately without even worrying, because the Stormcaller is sunk at this point.
Yeah, these honestly, people, you're right. I also have a bunch of the crew of the Gallant Rider. So actually, fuck the Stormcaller, dude. Let it sink. We leap onto the Gallant Rider.
You'll lose, I'll say, maybe a couple. So you'll have only 10 instead of, I think I said 12. You'll have, instead of 12, you'll have 10, but they'll arrive pretty immediately.
Fantastic.
Nonetheless, though, we are still in initiative, and it is your opponent's turn.
Okie dokie.
It becomes very apparent what is happening, but... No, you're coming up, you're surprising them, so the crew of the Stormcaller aren't fighting Punchinello just yet.
Okay.
But there are people on the decks who are peppering, actually, your 10 fighters who are making their way across were 12, become 10 because they're kind of heedlessly jumping over from one ship to another ship, but then they're probably going to become even less than that. On the deck of the Stormcaller, Yearning de Los Angeles sprints up, putting himself in between the Constant Craving and the Gallant Rider.
Mm-hmm.
And as they run across the Stormcaller, you hear him call out, "En garde!" And then with the two giant spectral fists coming out of his head, he starts wailing on people as they move past him. He, of your 10 fighters, he reduces them down a further 2. So you only have 8 now. Then on the deck of the Gallant Rider, the Casare ship, you see Tenete Ikohika is firing a rapid fire crossbow. Ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. Pom Penny Farthing is launching spells. And then Drifting Snowflake, the Tabaxi fighter, is standing pretty much on the railing, slamming his body into people as they try to jump across.
Hell yeah.
Between those three as well. Oh, fuck. Well, there goes your fighters.
Okay.
You're, unfortunately... Your 12 gets whittled down to 8, gets whittled down to 6, gets whittled down to 3, and then gets whittled down to none.
Okay. Okay.
That does, however, keep them distracted. So, Punchinello, it's your turn.
Yep.
With your sailors from below, you explode out onto the deck, catching the people on the deck by surprise.
Punchinello gives you the choice. All adventurers get quick death or slow.
And then I give them the quick death.
You explode. You slam into the bodies of Yearning de Los Angeles. Maybe Yearning de Los Angeles hearing you. He's about to yell something back and sprint across from one ship to the other. But he is skewered by a tendril, as is Tenete Ikohika, as is Pom Penny Farthing, as is Drifting Snowflake. All of them slammed with tendrils, as is the deck. Everyone on the deck of the Gallant Rider.
Yeah.
In one fell swoop, you have disabled two ships, you've taken two ships and disabled the third. But it is a imperfect thing.
Yeah.
The knights, the sailors, they have maybe some training, but not enough. Nothing, no normal training could prepare these sailors for what you do to them. The Knights of Carcery, however, especially Tenete Ikohika, but especially Pom Penny Farthing, but especially Drifting Snowflake, and especially, of course, Yearning de Los Angeles, all of them, their minds are hardened against you. And as you slam into them, it's wrong. You cannot, they are unwilling, and this is too quick, and they are too well trained against you. You dominate their bodies, you cloud their minds, but it is just barely within your strength to do so. You, Sir Grace, immediately exhaust yourself. You're in control. You extinguish them one by one by one, but you have no access to their memories. You do not know what they know because you just, it's not, I'd actually very reminiscent of your domination of Vercingetorix. Your options really are, when you're doing it this quickly, your options really are either an extended battle of minds, which you are just not capable of doing right now, or you get rid of the mind, just take the body.
Yeah.
Their minds struggle and fight and will probably struggle, as Vercingetorix's does. Mm. Their minds will probably struggle and fight you as long as the body exists, but you take control.
How does Punchinello deal with...
Punchinello is destroyed.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
As I assume Ogden Tyne was, to be honest.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
The inky black doesn't come from the edges of Punchinello. It comes from within. Punchinello's body explodes out in all directions.
Yep. Well, it's finished. I'd like to stand up and maybe look at that.
You stand up. You feel a hand grab the back of your head. You have no hair, Grace. So it just, it's a hand planting itself on your balding head, pulls your head back, and then your throat is slit from ear to ear.
Black. I like to, as she pulls my head back, I imagine she is looking in my eyes.
Yeah.
And as she slits my throat, I just smile at her.
Ada slits your throat from ear to ear, and her look of grim determination turns to one of horror, mounting, then complete and total horror, as instead of blood, ooze, black, inky goo spills forth out of your neck down your front.
You really shouldn't have come here.
She drops the dagger and staggers backwards.
I look down at the table that I assume I have in the throne room that has the map of Ognot. And on that map, I have pieces that represent Morlock Brush, Punchinello, Tendril Grace, Agate Shield Mold, and myself as well. And many, many, many others. Mm. But on that map, those four have been knocked over. They're out of the fight. There's this insult, I suppose, it is, that adventurers throw around. I don't know if you've spent much time around adventurers, Ada.
Ada is struck mute by what is happening right now.
May you die a noble's death. I don't know if you've heard it. It means may you die in your bed or in comfort or even surrounded by the ones you love. That's what it means. And it's an insult to an adventurer because that's not how adventurers die. Adventurers, they're burned in the flames of a dragon's breath, or they die because they have to stay behind so that others might escape. You know, they don't die, they sacrifice. So when they say, oh, I hope you die a noble's death, it's an insult. It's meant to be hurtful. I haven't died an adventurer's death. I've been an adventurer a long time, longer than most. Would you like a seat?
You gesture to the chair.
Yeah, I have a table and chairs.
Her look of horror, she manages to, you see, she takes control of herself once more. The dagger that she dropped, her eyes glance down at it, glance back at you.
I bend over and pick up the dagger and hand it back to her.
She doesn't take it from you. She instead takes your offer to sit. She sits down.
Suit yourself. And in that time, as an adventurer, and knowing other adventurers as well, I've come to learn two very specific and very frustrating pieces of information. Two lessons throughout my life. Good will always triumph over evil. And then I glance back at the map. But evil will always come back. Do you know what I mean? It's a cycle. It's a loop. It's a wheel. And we're given no choice, Ada. We can't step out of the way. We can't embrace it. We're given no choice but to be crushed beneath it. I sit down across from her. Who sent you?
She hesitates. Hydale.
Right. Right. I'm guessing, I gesture to my neck, which I imagine is sort of healing up.
It's probably healed completely by now, yeah. There's still mess down your front, but the wound is probably closed.
Well, maybe I grab at my sort of shirt and I hold it. I'm guessing they didn't know about this, though. Or they might have sent someone else.
She nods slowly. I believe they thought an assassin would be enough. Mm. Clearly you need a priest.
Yeah, something like that. Well, I suppose we find ourselves at an impasse, Ada. Because obviously I could kill you. That wouldn't be hard. Or I could turn you. I could transform you into... give me a moment. I would like to, as everyone else in the castle...
Yeah.
Come through the door and surround Ada.
You see the horror again return, but she As the, maybe not at the midway point, but as a stupid number of people, or by the time a stupid number of people are here,
yeah.
You can see she stopped looking at people entering. She's staring you, Sir Grace. She's staring straight into your eyes. You can see there's like a defiance, a determination there, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
She's determined not to... You've maybe seen this.
Yeah.
You've seen this before, even before you became what you are currently. You've seen, it's the, they might not have the term thousand-yard stare. They might call it the look of an adventurer.
Yeah.
It's a determination to not die screaming.
Mm. So I could obviously turn you into one of the true faithful, as I've done to all of those around me, or I could dominate you and possess you with the thing that has possessed me. But I don't want to do that. I don't think that's clever. I think I look over at everything that I've got, all of the tipped over pieces. I think I've been very stupid, Ada, and I think it's time I started acting smart. So I'm going to let you go. But I want you to understand that all of this, I gesture to the people around me, and all of this, I gesture out the window to Fairburn Point, to the area beyond. That's not going away. And I think you would be an idiot to stand in my way. I wait for her to respond.
She, without saying anything at first, stands up and then looking. Is there anyone in front of the door itself?
No.
She maybe is an act. Maybe once again is that like the kind of adventurer's last gasp, determined not to die afraid. She turns around, showing her back to you, quite clearly an act. Maybe to prove that she is brave enough to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she walks to the door, puts her hand on it, opens it. She does all of this as calmly as she can. But you can see there's a bubbling terror underneath.
Mm-hmm.
As she opens the door, she turns back to you. The wheel.
Mm.
What do you plan to do with it?
I'll tell you a story. And maybe I get up and I walk past the hundreds of eyes that I possess in this castle. And as I walk up to her, I would also like to have brought her dagger. And I put it in her hands and I say, you forgot this. Then I'd like to put my arm around her shoulder and I would like to start walking her to the exit of the castle. Once upon a time, Ada, there was a town. And in this town, there lived a beautiful princess of much renown. But then one day, a dragon came from the mountains. And with breath that flicker flamed, it burned the streets and torched the houses. And in its wicked claws, it took the princess away to its lair. We like head through the courtyard toward the gates of the keep. And so a knight was called. And the knight was given the quest to save the princess. And so on his horse, he rode into the mountains. And with a sword that snicker-snacked, he chopped the dragon's head off. We like arrive at the exit of the castle into the town, which we walk through the streets. And I imagine as we walk, every eye is just on us. All of those that I could not get into the castle to sort of show my power there are just on the streets staring at the two of us as we walk. And all was good. The princess was saved. The town rejoiced. And in their joy, they made the knight their king. And everyone, Ada, lived happily ever after. We're at the edge of the city now, at the city gates, maybe, staring out at the countryside. As we approach the city gates, guards that are also me open the gate doors. People on the other side of the gates, the like other, you know, members of the watch, help us across the bridge or the whatever is, you know, takes us to the outside. But the dragon had laid eggs, and the knight had had sons. And the dragons had breath that flicker flamed, and the sons had swords that snicker snacked. And the king, once the knight, grew old and died in his bed. I will not be crushed by the wheel, Ada.
She, at first, until Sir Grace's eyes lose sight of her, she walks calmly and patiently to show that she is not afraid. But then, as birds, as farmers, and sometimes as cows, you see, as for the rest of the journey from Fairburn Point to Hydale, she does not stop running.
I watch Ada disappear into the distance, and then I return to my throne room, and one by one, I turn the chess pieces back over.
blink. In the mountains, a merry band of adventurers exit Momraron's lair, arms laden with plundered treasure and jewels. They load it heavy onto carts and ferry it back to the capital. Blink. Deep underground, a fresh cadre of dwarven archaeologists work to capture, contain, and study a darkness older than steel. Blink. What remains of Cutter's fleet swiftly flees from Fairburn Point, a small fortune secured in its hold, unaware they are pursued by the imperfectly corrupted Knights of Carceray. Blink. Gently rocked by umbral waves, Sir Grayson, like a silvery moon, stare up at the lonely tower, impossibly tall. The world is broken, Lyca, but I'm gonna fix it. Just you watch. Blink.
Eröffnet die Tür. Routinierter Einstieg. So kennen wir ihn. Der Gurt sitzt. Präzise Bewegung. Jetzt der Startknopf. Motor läuft. Volle Konzentration. Ein kurzer Blick zur Mittelkonsole. Radio oder Stille? Er dreht auf. Er dreht auf! Was für ein Statement! Was für ein Kerl! Jetzt nur keine Ablenkung mehr. Kein Scrollen. Er bleibt dran und er hört.
Digital Audio. Mehr geht nicht.
Commercial. Made by AI.